there's a process that we're going to embark on, and we're really encouraging migrant communities to get involved in the consultation process and to provide the necessary feedback. So I really would encourage migrant communities, and in this case you've asked me about the PNG community here in Australia, so I'd really encourage migrant communities to put their submissions in.
This would affect Australian citizens and permanent residents from Pacific Island countries like PNG, but it's only a five-year visa. What if they have elderly parents that might need a bit of hospital care? Would Australia foot the bill for that, or would that be specifically, you know, the onus would be on the children bringing their parents here?
At this point in time, it's been announced, and I think at this point we're in the phase of looking at the design of the visa. So at this point in time, the process is we're going to have a public consultation. There's been a discussion paper that's been released, and we're really asking for submissions, and then we're going to move into the phase of the design process for this visa. And I am sure that those are the sort of issues that will be picked up as part of its design.
I was talking to a young woman, a PNG woman, who's an Australian citizen now. She lives in Brisbane, and she'd had her mother staying with her for several years on, I think, multiple tourist visas until they completely ran out. Her mother had to go back to Port Moresby, and she's very concerned about her mother because she's had some health things. And she was saying how frustrated she was that she couldn't do more to help her mother and bring her mother to Australia. She said, I'll look after her, I'll pay all the costs, but it's just not possible. Is this new thing designed to get around that?
Bruce, I've, as a former Shadow Minister for Ageing and having spent many, many years in the multicultural space, I am conscious of these issues. And again, my sense is that in the design of this new temporary visa, those are the very sort of issues that will have to be considered and looked at. And clearly, we want families to be reunited and to spend time together, but at the same time making sure that it's done in a way that doesn't burden the Australian healthcare system. So it's that very important balance that we need to get right in the design of the temporary sponsored parent visa.
Okay, let's turn to your trip to Tonga last week. This is one of your first visits, I think, to the Pacific. How did you find it?
Well, it was very, very good. Again, this is my first visit to Tonga. It was my first visit to Tonga as Minister for International Development and the Pacific, and it really gave me a good opportunity to see firsthand Australia's strong political relationship with the Tongan government, and also to see firsthand Australia's interests and the examples of our cooperation with Tonga. Clearly, Australia has an interest in Tonga's stability, in its security and its sustainable development, and that is really a key focus of our relationship.
You announced a couple of initiatives with aid, one for health and I think one for sports, which is very important in Tonga.
It is very important. Three key things that I did while I was there. One was to sign an Australia-Tonga aid partnership, and I did that with the Minister for Finance. And that aid partnership focuses on basically supporting economic reform in health, in skills development. So that was one of the first things that I did. I also made an announcement of a $3.2 million program over 4 years to go in partnership with the Ministry of Health in Tonga, basically to go towards health services with specific focus on people with disabilities, and goes towards improving access for disabled people to access mainstream health services and provide better mental health. And it also includes a pilot on assisting with a community-based rehabilitation. One of the things that Tonga has done very well has had this good community-based nursing scheme model, which has worked very, very well. And the other announcement that I made was as part of our Sports for Development, and we announced $450,000 to support sporting activities, which includes $75,000 Pacific-wide partnership with Netball Australia, and would particularly went to help netball in Tonga. So that was just some of the things that I did, Bruce, while I was there.
A lot of Australia's diplomatic relationships with Pacific Island countries like Tonga, it very much centres around aid. A couple of days ago, the Fiji Attorney General, Ayaz Syed Khayyum, made a statement in Parliament saying that Fiji is looking to reduce the amount of aid that goes into the country, reduce its aid dependence. Does Australia think that this is perhaps the way for Pacific Island countries to go, that eventually we won't need so much aid going into places like Tonga? Tonga?
Well, that's the focus so much of our assistance. Certainly, we need a strong and stable and sustainable Pacific. And perhaps if I can answer the question in this way, recently we released our defence white paper. And of course, after the stability of Australia, the stability of our region is our highest priority. And with stability needs to come economic growth. And so that's why we're very much focused in what we do in countries like Tonga, for example, is a very good example, where our assistance with the Department of Finance is very much supporting economic reform. So we're assisting them to reform their economies and as a consequence provide a better framework for private sector investment and economic growth. As part of that process, we're obviously very conscious as part of our aid to help increase things that will result in economic growth. Because of course, the more people who have jobs, the more people will be able to generate self-sufficiency, self-help, and in turn lessen the dependency that countries like Tonga will ultimately have on aid. So that is the long-term objective, because it means that our aid goes towards assisting ultimately their economic well-being and their economic independence.
So eventually you want Pacific Island countries to be in a position to help themselves more and not need any extra help from outside.
Well, of course, there'll always be, I think, scope for assistance. And Australia is a very strong and reliable donor in the Pacific. And clearly an economy like Fiji is in a different position to some other economies. And that was very, very clear in the discussion that was had recently when I attended Fiji at the Council, the meeting of the councils, the business councils, Fiji, New Zealand and Australia business councils. Clearly, there are countries in the Pacific that require more assistance than other countries. And this, of course, is reflected individually in the aid partnership agreements that we have with those countries, where not only do we look at what Australia's priorities are for development, but we actually dovetail those in with the aid priorities of the particular country where we are rendering that assistance. With Tonga, can I particularly say, whilst Australia is the largest provider of aid to Tonga, and we, for example, in 2016-17, we provided almost $30 million in aid, our focus is very much on economic reform, on improving health and improving skills development. And one of the things that we have with Tonga is very, very strong people-to-people links. Apart from the Tongan Australian community here. Also, Tonga has been a very strong supporter and the largest provider of seasonal workers under a seasonal worker program. And we've had, since about 2012, since the program started, we've had about 11,000 workers since its inception, and about 7,500 of those have come from Tonga. So that means that there are strong remittances that do go to Tonga, and again, a very practical way that Australia is helping the long-term economic viability of Tonga.